Welcome to the Do Your Good podcast series. In this podcast series, you'll hear from me, Sybil, and other experts in the field to help you make your money matter and make a huge difference in the world. I come to you with over two decades of experience as a person who's helped donors give away over $45 million in donations, both large and small. This podcast series is meant to give you the tools you need to be effective in the world and fund nonprofits and issues that you care about with meaning and purpose, and to make a true, deep difference in the world. Hello, everyone. If you're an avid listener to my podcast series, you'll know that I'm working on a new series for the fall. So this summer, I'm doing some reruns, and I'm pulling out some of my favorite interviews. The one I have for you today is actually from season one. I wanted to pull it out because this is an interview with a gentleman named Carsten Henningsen, who is one of the first investors who really thinks about how to invest your money with social responsibility. So to really make a difference in your investments. And this is in addition to when you give your donations out and grants to great causes. I really appreciated our conversation, and I'm thinking a lot about this today, around how do you have a whole portfolio, an entire portfolio of giving well, which includes not only donations and grants, but how you invest your money. What companies do you invest in? How do you do it well? So I want to apologize ahead of time, though. The sound quality isn't the absolute best because I was just getting used to podcasting in season one, but I just love what Carsten has to say. So have a great listen, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Carsten, I'm so glad that you're on my podcast today. I can't wait to talk to you about sustainable investment strategies. You've lived this for your whole life. Let's start talking about this. And maybe can you talk about your personal journey into sustainable investing first? And then we can get into, now that you do it professionally, what are some things people should think about?
Well, that's a great question. We'll have to go back to my 10th birthday when my parents gave me two shares of Mattel toys. Certainly a product I could relate to, Hot Wheels and Barbies. And that was the first time that I had any idea about the stock market and how stocks work. And I became very intrigued and would ride my bike down to the local brokerage office, and I'd punch up quotes on stocks and got more and more involved and decided early on that I was going to be my profession, my vocation with passion was going to be about the investment business. So I set off to that direction. And then through my school years, I had the opportunity to travel around the world and saw the impact of multinational corporations on countries and how, in many cases, these corporations were larger than many countries. So I thought to myself that if there was a way to influence the investment process in a way to influence corporate behavior and maybe change the world in that way, that might be worth the effort in starting a company with that idea.
Great. And it sounds like in 1982, that early, you started a company that was really focused on this work. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
I just graduated from college and I asked myself the question, how can I have an impact in the world, making the world a better place in some way? And this idea came back to me that maybe I should start an investment company that has this concept of investing in companies that are doing the right thing and trying to help those companies move forward in a progressive way. And that's how I came up with the name Progressive Investment Management. But back in the early 80s, this was an idea that no one had heard of before. It took a lot of convincing, a lot of educating to try it out. And also, there wasn't any track record of performance to tell us if this approach to investing was going to provide the same kind of returns as the market. It was all kind of a big experiment back in the early 80s.
That's great, Carsten. And when you were doing it and you started the idea back in 1982, what were some of the hurdles you had to overcome? And do any of those hurdles, are they still applicable today in terms of things people ask about?
Well, you know, some of the hurdles actually helped me, and that was naivete. I had very little experience and didn't really understand the gravity of what I was taking on and starting an investment company, and, you know, at such an early age. And so if I had really known more, I don't know if I would even have started the business. And really, if I had done a business plan or marketing focus group studies, I would have found out that there was no market. There was no demand for social, environmental, sustainable investing at that time. That was something that we had to build from scratch. That naivete turned out to be a plus. And then you learn as you go. A lot of the challenges were from the mainstream media, from traditional investment companies who were telling their clients and telling the story that there's no way you're going to make money doing this. So that was the biggest hurdle until we had a number of years to prove them wrong, that you don't have to necessarily give up any investment return in order to apply, you know, social environmental criteria to your investment process.
That's so great. And let's talk a little bit about what that means.
Well, first we have to define sustainable because everybody might look at it a little bit differently. One might say that there's nothing sustainable about the stock market. It is a mechanism for maximizing wealth for shareholders. You know, often that comes at the expense of the community, the environment, and the employees. Some investors might say that sustainable investing, having the highest impact, create change, really comes from looking at not the stock market, but community investing. Investing in community loan funds that are practicing and helping organic farmers do sustainable agriculture or affordable housing. There's so many areas of the common good that we can support through the investment process. The only issue there is that when you're making a loan to a nonprofit loan fund, let's say doing affordable housing, you're probably going to make maybe 2-3% on your loan per year. Whereas the stock market historically on average has been performing at a much higher level. So most investors, they want to have both. They want to have very strict, rigorous social, environmental, sustainable criteria in their investment process, but they also want to have competitive returns with the stock market. And so if that is the investor's objective to have both, then you have to find a place in the middle where you can still invest in the stock market, but you have some level of selection criteria that helps you identify companies that are doing better than others. Again, within the context of multinational corporations, as I say, maximizing wealth for shareholders.
That's great. So can you give me a few examples of where really investing in some of these companies has brought returns and been sort of a win-win in that way? I appreciate the qualifications you give there too.
Sure. Yeah. If folks are interested in investing in the stock market and want to apply social environmental criteria, it's certainly very possible. And there are now many mutual funds and investment advisors who are managing portfolios with social environmental criteria. Now, this area has grown so much that an investor needs to be a little careful. Make sure you look behind the curtain and see, you know, what companies are actually in the portfolio, because there can be some greenwashing, some marketing going on here on websites and whatnot. So you have to be careful, because these days I've seen portfolios, funds that call themselves sustainable, yet they're invested in oil companies and casinos. Yeah, you'd be surprised how the definition of sustainable has been used in different ways. It is a buyer beware. You have to be careful.
And now for an ad, but don't go away because there's lots more to talk about. Hello, everyone. I want to let you know that I am putting forward a pretty exciting new podcast season, which is going to focus on the journey I took with one of my clients to think through effective funding strategies to reduce firearm-related suicide in rural and remote communities, specifically looking at Oregon as an example. So tune in to my podcast series, September 30th through October 21st. Every Monday, I'll have a new special episode specifically discussing this issue. Thanks a lot.
Most people are looking to apply the social environmental criteria, and they also are looking for market returns. And when I say market, most people think of the S&P 500, the 500 largest companies in the country. And that's generally the benchmark that people measure their performance against. So these days, it's a lot easier for someone looking for a cleaner portfolio to invest with companies that are in the S&P 500. And the reason for that is that if you go back to the 1980s when I first started, the S&P 500, the top companies, the top 10 were all oil companies, plus the IBM and AT&T. So at that point, it was a little challenging to invest and keep up with the market when the largest companies were all oil companies. But that's all changed over the last 34 years. Now there's not an oil company left in the top 10. They've all been replaced. It makes it a little easier for an investor, let's say, that doesn't want to invest in oil and coal and gas, to invest in cleaner technologies that are providing a number of solutions in many, many ways through technology.
Are there some good go-to organizations or websites or other places where folks can sort of do a little more research on this? What would your recommendations be?
Yeah, that's a great question. There is a national nonprofit organization for social environmental investing. I actually served as a director for about 5 years, Sustainable Investing Nonprofit. And they have a directory of members, and they also have a listing of all the mutual funds that call themselves socially, environmentally responsible or sustainable.
That's great. I'll put that all that information and the website link will be in the show notes. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Right. The company started back in the early 80s as Progressive. And then we got an idea in 1999 to come up with a portfolio of companies that are real thought leaders around sustainability, and put together something called Portfolio 21 in 1999 that was really one of the first portfolios to exclude fossil fuels and also search the world really for sustainable leadership among companies. And, you know, back in 1999, sustainability was actually still kind of a new thing. And again, we needed to educate folks of why this might be an advantage from an investment, you know, strategy perspective. And it took off. We started it with about, I guess, about $1 million in it, and then kept growing, and it got to 100 million and 500 million. And now it's at about, 750 million. So it really took off and others followed. So now it's not that difficult to find a portfolio without fossil fuels. But back in 1999, it was really a new idea.
It sounds like that Portfolio 21 piece, but now you're back to doing Progressive investments as well. What are the specific things you do there for folks?
Sure. Yeah, we work with individuals and also nonprofit organizations, foundations, endowments, pension plans. And it's a very personal service. So we sit down with folks and you just find out what's going on in their financial world, in their lives, and come up with a portfolio. Often it includes both stocks and bonds that meets their objectives for what they need to live on during their lifetime, and also applies the social environmental criteria so that it's a portfolio they feel better about.
This is really helpful. And let's talk a little bit about the returns now.
Yeah, our experience has been that over time, you don't give up any return. In fact, we've actually outperformed the markets. So our clients have been very pleased with the idea that you can have both, right? I mean, Forbes magazine wrote an article on us once, and they said that we were greener in more ways than one. So it's quite reaffirming and rewarding to be at this place so many years later from where we started, because and have the success we have, because back in the early 80s, it was an experiment. We didn't know how it was going to turn out. But now that we have decades of track record, we can show the numbers, prove the model here, that it is possible to invest in a responsible way through social and environmental criteria and sustainability, not give up any return in the markets.
And now for an ad, but don't go away because there's lots more to talk about. Hello, everyone. I'm so glad that you're enjoying my podcast. In my podcast, I hope to talk to you, the wonderful donors and philanthropists that I work with, to help you think through the most effective way to make your money matter. I also, in my podcast series and through all my trainings, want to help and support the nonprofits that are out there trying to raise money and hone their pitch. Because I'm somebody that works with donors, I get pitched all the time by amazing nonprofit leaders, so I know what it takes to raise money effectively. Please check out everything I have to offer at www.doyourgood.com. I have a whole host of course materials and lessons, videos, downloadable documents, a blog that I keep updated. All of it is 100% free for you to see and review and learn from. Please check it out. Again, www.doyourgood.com. Thanks a lot.
Well, yeah, I have to say, I mean, I'm so lucky that you now are my investor for my small portfolio. And it's been amazing, the returns. It's been so wonderful. I really appreciate that. That's awesome. Karsten, is there anything else you want to talk about in terms of overall what you've learned over all these years with investment strategies? What kind of advice do you have for folks if they want to invest sustainably over time? Big picture.
The most important thing is what we talked about earlier, is do your homework and make sure that if you choose to work with somebody or you choose to invest in a mutual fund, that you've done your due diligence. You've actually looked at the portfolio, the holdings, what companies are they investing in, and making sure that you understand how they're defining sustainability or social environmental criteria. That's number one, as we said earlier. And then it's important also to understand how one's dollars can really have impact in the world. Yes, you can invest in the stock market. You can invest in, let's say, municipal bonds that are offered by municipalities like cities and counties and states and universities. So in that way, you can feel good about your money supporting our society in a positive way. And then there's also this area of community investing, again, where you can make loans to nonprofit organizations doing really important work, having a real high impact, again, in areas like we talked about, like affordable housing, sustainable agriculture, et cetera. So there's a lot of options out there. There's a menu of choices. I'll also add that with the strategy of trying to have impact with your investment dollars, besides community investing, which we've talked about having a lot of impact, investors in the stock market can also have impact through shareholder resolutions, where groups of shareholders put together a resolution that they propose to the company, try to influence that company's behavior and policies going forward. And this has been very, very successful. It started back in the 1980s with the South Africa divestment movement. Part of that was through this shareholder resolution process. People who were investors in companies had a voice. You can vote with your dollars. Today, around sustainability in the environment, a lot of these shareholder resolutions are asking companies to measure and report carbon emissions, for example. The shareholder resolution process is very important as a way for shareholders, especially smaller shareholders who have minority ownership, to have a voice, actually change and improve corporate policies and procedures and behavior.
So, Karsten, do you have a great story about a particular sector that's really doing well and that has done well that maybe was not noticed as much in the early 80s and now is?
That's a great question. Well, I think the world has completely changed from back in the 80s because now we have the internet. We didn't have that in the 80s. And with the internet, we have now developed a completely new business model, an online business model, a cloud-based business model that is changing everything. It's changing how business is done. It's a huge disruption to the traditional business models that we've known in the past. And so any company that uses a cloud-based business model has tremendous opportunity. These companies can gain new market, new customers anywhere in the world, almost overnight, without having to, you know, build a factory or open retail stores. And so these companies can grow their revenues and their profits without really adding a whole lot to their expenses. And they can do this really quickly. So I think we're experiencing a whole new way of investing. Investors always have to be very, very careful to make sure that you have a, you know, diversified portfolio and you don't have too many eggs in any one basket. You know, for example, owning about 30 different companies is probably what you need in order to have good diversification and not have too many of your eggs in any one basket, just from a risk point of view. Sometimes it's hard for the average investor to build their own portfolio of like 30 companies that they like and do all the research. And that's why mutual funds are such a easy way for folks to invest as little as $1,000 and get that kind of diversification. And fortunately today, there are many mutual funds out there with great performance that operate with the social environmental criteria that we'd like to see. That's an easy way for investors to get started and have that sort of professional management kind of built in to the investment process in such an easy way through a mutual fund.
The mutual fund recommendation is wonderful. Is there a website or other resource folks can go to if they want to learn about sustainable mutual funds?
The best place is it's USSIF.org. And they have a whole list of all the mutual funds. Being a member of this organization, the National Trade Association for the sustainable investing industry, it's a good place to start.
Great. So we'll have that in the show notes. Well, Carsten, thank you so much for all your words of wisdom. Would you like to leave my listeners with any other things that maybe we didn't talk about today, but that you really think folks should know about if they're thinking about focusing in on sustainable investing as part of their portfolio and their giving strategy?
The most important thing is to really have your own mission statement. Just like you would around your philanthropic giving, you want to also have a clear mission statement around your investing. What are you doing with your money? How they're going to have impact in the ways that you want it to have impact. So being proactive in this way, rather than just sort of going out there and choosing a fund, a mutual fund or an investment advisor because they say they do sustainable investing, it's helpful to develop your own definition and your own criteria of what's important to you. And then hopefully find someone or a mutual fund that is as much as possible aligned with your own mission and your own definition of sustainability.
That's great. And if folks wanted to find you, where, how would they find you right now?
Well, my website is progressiveinvestment.com.
That's great. Thank you so much, Carsten. And it's such an honor to interview you. I mean, you're not that old, but I consider you like the grandfather of this conversation, the shepherd of this conversation, the person who helped us really think about it. And you were so visionary in your youth to like get this to happen. So I just want to thank you for being so visionary in this area. And it's been just a wonderful conversation. Thanks so much.
Well, you're very kind, Sybil. Thank you.
So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed this podcast as much as I enjoyed making it for you. So if you want to find out more about what I have to offer, please check out www.doyourgood.com and learn more ways to make your money matter. Until next time, do your good and be well.